you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
You're welcome in this house. This house is the Lord. Feel the excitement. There's something in store. Where two or more gather and raise up his name.
He's promised to
We are certainly glad you're here. That opening music is always an encouragement as it rallies our listeners together and it conveys what we feel about you, that we're glad you're here. You're a part of our radio listening family. And as you know, many times, probably for the last few years, almost every time we open up with a scripture, well, we have 21 different verses for you today. So let me start out with, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." It is Friday, August 26, 2022, and in the studio, the same as the last few weeks, are my five friends, Elmer and Gail Zules. Of course, Gail, the last few times, you're always like the first one, so I want to say Gail and Elmer, but Elmer and Gail, Gail and Elmer Zules, Ron and Sharon Fernald, and Alaric Shoffley in the studio. And so we're going to read 21 verses, because today our discussion is going to be about who is my neighbor. And so we'll also be looking at a passage that's very familiar to many of you, Luke 10:25-37, which is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so we're going to talk about who is my neighbor, but part of our goal will be, now that we are identifying who our neighbor is, how can we best reach out and love on them and maybe introduce them to Jesus? So there's a twofold goal. We want to learn who is our neighbor and how best to reach them with the love of God. So we're going to begin with a series of readings. So if you can sit back and drink this in. So as we've already prayed, Ron and others have mentioned that God's word never returns empty. So it's going to accomplish things beyond our understanding. And we trust as you hear these wonderful scriptures about reaching our neighbor, loving on our neighbor, getting to know our neighbor, that something will stir in your heart. So we're going to trust that as you hear these next 21 verses, and we'll all take a turn here, there's going to be a blessing in store for all of us. And I've already shared that if we need to stop and maybe say something about that verse, jump right in, everyone. Or I'm sure I'm going to jump in at some point and say, read that again. That's such a good one for us all. But here's 21 verses that deal with reaching your neighbor or loving on your neighbor. And Gail will begin with the first verse.
I'm reading from Mark 12, verses 30 and 31, the words of our Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these.
And those were words of Jesus, something that we, you know, many Bibles have the red letter words, but when the disciples and people were asking Jesus, what's the best commandment? He kind of broke it into two: loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God. And it's a great one. That's Mark 12:30-31.
And now I'm reading from 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. That's 1 Peter 3:8.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 10:24. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. 1 Corinthians 10:24.
And you may wonder, why are they citing the reference, then the verse, then the reference again? But that's the old navigator way of memorizing scripture. I cite the reference, then you read the verse or share the verse, and then you cite the reference. So I told everyone, cite the reference, read the verse, cite the reference.
1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11.
And I like the fact, just as in fact you are doing. It's kind of like we're taught, we're commanded. It's assumed that that's what you're going to do. You're going to encourage and build one another up. It's a great verse. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2.
Galatians 5:14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:14.
Okay, and reading Hebrews 13:1-2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Hebrews 13:1-2.
And I love that hospitality. It seems like that's been a theme. We had our prayer gathering a week ago on Thursday, and we were talking about being hospitable to people, how to reach our neighbors. A week or so back at our Ministry Leaders Network, the speaker that came in, Brad Lovin from the Washington Street Mission out of Springfield, he talked about being intentional and showing hospitality. And before you're going to get your Muslim friend or your neighbor or somebody that's maybe never been to church, first invite them to your house, break bread with them, get to know about their family, their job, build that relationship. And usually you can do that through a meal, especially a meal at your dining room table or in your home, because people put their guard down. And so it's so important to reach our neighbors through hospitality. And some of you have that gift, but we all can be hospitable and initiate. But I love this verse, and it seems like it's an overarching pattern that keeps surfacing. So I'm just wondering, as we reach out into our community and praying for God to do something unique, I think hospitality is going to be a part of that.
Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12.
And when you've heard about the golden rule, it's right there. So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets.
Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Philippians 2:3.
Ron, that's pretty neat how God timed that for you to do that verse, because you kind of exemplify that in a variety of ways. Just your mannerisms, your personality, your temperament. You oftentimes do value others and put them above yourselves in a humble, wonderful way. But that's kind of good how God had you read that verse. I think that's true of you. Here's Romans 15:2. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. Romans 15:2.
Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Galatians 6:10.
Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacles in the way of a brother or sister.
Can anyone give a testimony on how maybe they've been passing judgment on somebody? Or I know I can get judgmental and really pray that the Lord helps me not to be that way. But here it's commanding us, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. So maybe this is a word for somebody tuning in, driving to work, that they're ready to hammer down on somebody, or they don't like somebody's faith journey, or there's something that they're seeing is inconsistent, and they're armed to confront them today. And maybe you need to sit back and give them a little more time to grow, or allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. Sometimes I've said to friends, stop acting as the Holy Spirit. Let him do his job and bring the conviction to me. You don't have to be the Holy Spirit police on everyone, because I have some friends, I've probably done it myself, where we want to step in instead of letting the Holy Spirit bring that healthy conviction to them.
I always say we have to look for the good. Everyone has some things that disagree with us, but we have to look for the good thing to share with one another.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Ooh.
Colossians 3:13.
Isaiah 1:17, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Isaiah 1:17.
John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. John 13:34.
Romans 13:10, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13:10.
1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8.
1 Thessalonians 3:12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. 1 Thessalonians 3:12.
Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Romans 12:10.
Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Romans 12:16.
Well, see, Ron, you're exhibiting that. You're associating with me as someone of lower position. So appreciate your friendship. Yeah. And then Alaric.
And then finally, 1 John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? 1 John 3:17.
All right. Well, well done, friends, on sharing these great verses, all in various ways having to deal with who is my neighbor, and then I kind of qualified it. I had a subheading for today's program, and how best to reach out and love on our neighbors. And these were all verses I came across and put down and have available if anyone wanted to call in. I could certainly send this. But I also included Luke 10:25-37. It's titled, at least in my Bible, The Parable of the Good Samaritan, and that was part of the topic of today, is who is my neighbor? And many of you know this story. It's been preached on so many different times. I think it's in every pastor's arsenal of sermon topics or a part of a sermon series of reaching out to our neighbors. But I'll read that story, and then we'll have a little time for some discussion on how best to reach our neighbor and how best to identify who is our neighbor. And this story, this is Jesus replying to some of the religious leaders. Luke 10:25-37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these three do you think was neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Oh, there's a lesson for all of us. How about one of you give a little history? Why would the average Jew, especially a religious Jew, be tentative to not want to stop or to assist? And why Jesus referencing a Samaritan, why would that have gotten under people's skins? Any of you?
Well, I was going to say a Samaritan. They were not Jews. They were from Samaria, another country, so to speak.
Well, they were kind of half Jews. They had intermarried with some of the Jewish people, so they looked at them as somewhat outcasts. They weren't purebred Jews, but some of the Jews had married them, and they had worshiped gods that were not the way the Jews would worship the one true God.
Ah, very good.
Sometimes they're even referred to as the hated Samaritans.
Yeah,
the Jews didn't like the Samaritans.
No, they did everything to try to not interact or be a part of anything going on with them, or even traveling through the territory. When Jesus said, well, let's cut this way, they realized that they were going to meet up with some of the Samaritans and the woman at the well, because that was an area that they didn't want to go through, because they saw the Samaritans as unclean, as half-breeds, as traitors to some degree. So when Jesus referencing that the Samaritan did this kind act that was treating this person that was attacked by robbers, their hairs would have stood up. They would have just reviled. They wouldn't have liked that at all, because basically Jesus says, that's the one that's my neighbor. That's the one that's doing the right thing. Even the expert in the law, he doesn't say it was the Samaritan. He just says it's the one who had mercy. He couldn't even come to terms with saying it was the Samaritan that did the right thing. He just said, well, it's the one who had mercy. And then Jesus basically answers, yes, go and do likewise. And so who is my neighbor? I think we could all say it could be anyone God brings across our path. Now, the word neighbor in the original Old English, it's a derivative of two words, N-E-A-H, ni, which is translated near, and then gabur, G-A-B-U-R, is dweller. So a near dweller is a neighbor. That's kind of how we come up with the word neighbor. We don't have Jason in here to give us all the hermeneutics and all the other things. But I did look that one up, and, you know, anyone that dwells near you. So I would include anyone who works near you, anyone that's near you in vicinity, whether they live next to you or next door, or just interact. Maybe it's on the racquetball court or where you go golfing. Maybe it's in the store as you're pumping gas. All those people that are near us, we can extend God's love and compassion and care. And so in our closing couple minutes, maybe give an example or two of how you've maybe reached out to somebody that you were being neighborly to. You were just trying to be kind or gracious, and you were surprised by how appreciative they were, from maybe an act of kindness to where they asked you some things about yourself. Can you maybe testify to an example?
Well, I was going to say, when you, your neighbor, anyone you talk to, why, if you just mention the Lord, you're extending your love for them through the words, because the Lord is love, and that's what makes him a neighbor.
I love that word, neighborly. Just be neighborly. Be kind, be considerate, be loving, extend grace or a gift card or do something special, just so they question, why did you do that for me? You don't know me. But being neighborly is part of what Jesus even shows here, is the least likely candidate, the Samaritan who didn't like Jewish people and vice versa. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the religious leader, you know, they're busy doing their Christian thing, getting to the synagogue, or the Levite, he's getting ready to teach and he has to be somewhere. But it was the Samaritan that was neighborly, and Jesus really commends him. And basically, the lesson of the story, it's the one who has mercy, the one who is kind, who is compassionate, who is extending God's love. And Jesus calls us, go and do likewise. So can you think of an example, Ron or Alaric or Gail, that you've extended love, that somebody was kind of surprised that you did that?
There was a time when, and it was, I'll put it back years ago, our kids were small, and we were just sitting down to dinner, and there's a knock at the door. Well, we live out in the country, and, you know, knock at the door is, we have no clue.
Yeah.
But it was a young girl. She was on her way back to college. I believe it was a Sunday afternoon. And the college was in Southern Illinois. It wasn't Southern Illinois College. It was a Christian college, I believe. And it was pouring down rain. And she said, she was in tears. She said, I cannot see. And my parents kind of didn't want me to go today, but I wanted to get back. Could I stay here for a while until the rain stops or it lessens? Well, sure. You know, we invited her to dinner, and she said she'd already eaten. I don't even remember her name, but we were very neighborly, and she was so thankful that we allowed her to come in the house, you know, and sit until that rain stopped.
Mm-hmm. I had one other example here. About 3 years ago, we had a brand new neighbors. They moved in. They had three boys and a little girl. One day, a 10-year-old came over and asked, I've got a nice tree out there. I'd like to build a tree house. Can you help me? So I just went out and looked in the back shed. And by George, I had all kinds of good equipment and good material. I went right over there, and between the 10-year-old and myself, why, we built a tree house for her. And that's been the nicest thing. Several of the neighbors commented about how nice it looked in the tree, but the kids just enjoy it so much. And it's brought us, the new neighbors and ourselves, really close together, really showing God's love to one another.
Yeah, it can be just the simple act of just a conversation or discussion over a meal, a dessert, or just showing, extending love and care. And I think that's really the power that Christians have as followers of Jesus, is extending his love to whoever with no expectations other than God loves me and I just want to extend care and compassion and love to you. So a great reminder that anyone that crosses our path can potentially be that neighbor that Jesus Christ wants us to extend love and care to. So I think we all leave with, who is my neighbor? Everyone is our neighbor. So, all right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.